The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up, people, Tex.
Hey, everybody. It's preseason for us too here, so little bit of a late repack this week.
Yeah, a little bit. And we almost stepped on each other's toes. Zach and the boys from the Unpack Pod were trying to record today, and I was like, wait, we're getting something up on Friday. They're like, okay. We'll just let you have it. So we're delaying them for a week, but we wanted to talk about just kind of what's been happening preseason week one, what we're looking forward to preseason week two, you know, a day ahead of the Packers' only home game against the New Orleans Saints in week two on Friday. I guess we should just go position by position. I don't have that strong of a take on quarterback, but it is a position people seem to talk about a lot. I mean, we just want to crown or tear down Jordan Love off of one game performance.
Yeah, I
mean, it's clear that's not what's going to happen.
Every game is a referendum on whether or not he's going to be any good forever, and that's just not how this works, especially at that position, with the weird kind of learning curve he's had over his first two plus seasons in the NFL. It's just not how it works.
And you know, the coordinators talked today in a press conference, and all of them kind of shared the same thing, that like, if you've been in the league the past couple of seasons, this is your first like normal offseason. Yep. This is your first normal offseason process. And for guys who aren't getting a lot of snaps, you know, on the field in the regular season, like, it's huge for them. So, you know, last week, Jordan Love had the three interceptions. Two of them were dropped. The other one was a basically, like, there were like three real routes on the play. Two of the guys ran wrong routes, and he just tried to fit it in on the one route that like was actually planned for. That one ended up getting picked. I don't know if you can really blame him for any of those, but he doesn't look sharp either, right? Like, yep. He's missing stuff, you know, timing routes into the flat and stuff like that, that you would hope a third year first round pick would be able to hit. But at the same time, it's like, he's not getting a lot of these snaps. I know he is in OTAs when everything is on air and you don't have an actual pass rush coming after you, but like live snaps, he's not taking them.
No. And last year in the preseason, he played what, a game and change, 'cause he got hurt during, during one of those games. So, he was basically, he's getting thrown into the fire, and yeah, he's still exhibiting some of those questionable decisions that you would expect out of a young quarterback who hasn't played much live NFL football. So I think one of the worst ones to me, to be honest, was the one where he was kind of rolling out to his right, and then he kind of stopped and cut back, and Drake Jackson got in his face, and he just threw a duck up to Tyler Davis, like down the sideline. That one should have been a pick and wasn't. So he probably should have had one that didn't get picked, and then the three that did get intercepted, weren't really very much his fault. So I think Paul Noonan said it best to us in the Slack at one point, that the three picks kind of, you know, when you can erase all three of those picks because two drops and, you know, in a weird route thing, it almost hides that he did kind of not play great along with that. Again, missing some of the throws in the flats. And but again, there were some nice balls that he threw too, right? The touchdown to Dobbs was a beautiful pass. Read that very nicely. The rollout that Dobbs dropped along the sideline, I thought was one of his better plays that I've seen, just rolling out to his left and putting it right on Dobbs's hands by the sideline. So, you know, we'll see. There's been some encouraging signs. I guess he had a couple of really nice balls in practice again with the Saints this week. So we'll just kind of have to see what happens these next two games.
Yeah, I think it was Domofsky who said it, Rob Domofsky from ESPN, but the last practice, so this would have been Wednesday, the second of the two joint practices they had with the Saints, it ended on a two-minute drill, and Jordan Love apparently threw a 50-yard bomb that Domofsky said was his best throw he's seen from Jordan Love this summer, and then they went right down, marched right down and just put the two-point conversion in for the win to end those joint practices. So I guess that's nice to see. It's nice to see Jordan Love, like you said, that deep shot to Dobbs, which is a slot fade, which is what you're going to get against man coverage. Not, it's literally just throwing it up to your guy. And those are the type of plays that, you know, Kansas City in that start that he had last year, they were begging him to make that throw, and the Packers were trying to make that throw, and they just could not connect. So it's nice to see them actually be able to get that. Like, if you look at the film, he's getting press corner, you know, guys walked up to the line of scrimmage. Like, he's thinking that's cover one, basically, just like, it's just man across the board with a safety playing, you know, in the middle of the field zone. And then it ends up turning to man real quick. It doesn't end up mattering because he's got his matchup anyway, and they would have thrown it there away from the middle of the field safety. But just nice to see him kind of like diagnose and like get that one right, because a lot of those went wrong against Kansas City.
Yeah. It's continued inconsistency, right? You see the flashes, you see the poor throws, the inconsistent accuracy, the bad decision every once in a while. And you see the ability there, and it's just a matter of ironing out those mistakes and trying to minimize those.
So I want to go to running back. Thought we got a little bit of interesting stuff here, like interesting movement. Yeah. So B.J. Baylor is out, the running back from Oregon State, who was signed on at the same time as Tyler Goodson from Iowa. They also brought in Dexter Williams as a free agent. Do you remember Dexter Williams? He was what, 2019 sixth round pick. Yeah. Who's seen time? You know, he was in the USFL. Had 100 yards in, I believe, the title game for the USFL. They brought him in because they just kind of needed bodies. Obviously, you know, they're going to try to limit what Jones and AJ Dillon do in the preseason, if they do anything in the preseason at all. But Tyler Goodson was the starter for the Packers with those two guys out. And obviously, Kylan Hill still on PUP with the knee injury after he tore his ACL last year. Tyler Goodson, I did not expect him to get more snaps than Patrick Taylor, but the way that we were used was really interesting. So in the first half, because I charted the first half, which is, you know, all the snaps Jordan Love took, basically, that's what you need to think. And then, you know, there's massive personnel changes, whether you want to call it going from the first team to the second team or the second team to the third team, whatever, however you want to slice that one up. Goodson had 26 snaps and Taylor had 13. That was really surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that that puts Goodson in the driver's seat, but the way that they used Taylor, which was as a pass blocker and a short yardage back, and they also, you know, were able to break tendencies with that by having him line up out wide, right? Like, they didn't do that with Tyler Goodson. I almost kind of think I still lean Patrick Taylor there, because if you think about the running back position from like a base downs and then like sub package downs, right, perspective.
Yep.
The base down depth chart is always going to go Aaron Jones, AJ, well, whatever combination of that, right? Like Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and then whoever the next guy is. So maybe Goodson is the third base downs guy. But if Dillon gets hurt, they're going to need that short yardage back. They're going to need that guy who can help in pass protection. And Jones does well for that for his size, but he's still he's a pretty small running back, right? So that's kind of my line of thinking there. They did kind of bring it up today, you know, with Goot talked beyond just the coordinators. You know, it seems like there's a real conversation of like, do we keep three? Do we keep four? My question is just like, Hill is probably running back three when he does come back. So like, what's the upside of keeping Goodson really instead of promoting him off of the practice squad for the first couple weeks of the season?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I've been kind of riding the Goodson train for a little bit this offseason. And he certainly has got a little more burst I think, than Taylor does. But I don't know that that's enough to overcome kind of those limitations you said with the way they're used. And he looks small. Like he is very clearly looks like a sub 200 pound running back, because I mean that's what he is. But he took a couple of big licks in that game too. There was one, I don't remember the one safety that San Francisco had that just came down and planted him. Stood him straight up.
Hufanga from USC. Yeah.
So I do have to wonder, you mentioned the pass protection. I do think that's going to be probably a big piece of this. And Taylor definitely, between his size and his experience, is going to have the edge there, I think. So it makes sense to me to have to go that route and keep Taylor. I've kind of been waffling between him and Goodson, but kind of thinking through the same things that you're describing. I think it makes sense to keep Taylor as the three. I imagine injuries will sort themselves out at other positions by the time Kylan Hill's ready to come back, and maybe they do keep four at that point. But Goodson is a change of pace guy coming off the practice squad. If you need a body for a game or two, I think he can give you something. So hopefully, they can get him through and get him on the squad, because I do wonder if this is one of those where if they move on from Taylor and try to sign him back to the practice squad, if he doesn't say, no, I'm going to take my chances someplace else.
And I think he would, because I mean, he was a guy who, it's not like NFL teams didn't know about him, right? Like, he was a guy who declared early for the NFL draft. It was just injuries that ended up messing up his kind of pre-draft process. He had to take that redshirt year in Green Bay. At wide receiver, I am finally at the spot where I'm like, seven wide receivers make sense now. Yeah. And I don't think it involves Malik Taylor. And I think coming into the offseason, I would have said one of those guys probably has to be like the non-return man specialist, right? The guy who's playing the vice, the guy who's gunning punts. But there's so many guys at the cornerback position, actually. Like, you look at Keyshawn Nixon, Shamarjon Charles, Rico Gafford, all of those guys are getting in on special teams, to the point where, like, really the way to think about it is like body types, right? Like, the tight end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker is like one body type. And then the other body type is like the defensive backs and the wide receivers. And they have so many of those guys on the defensive side of the ball that I think are going to actually make the team, that I don't think they need that on offense. I think they could just have like straight up, outside of basically Amari, who's going to, return, may win the starting job, but they're at least getting him work right now. I think all these guys can be wide receivers. And I think that's what ends up opening up a spot for not only Amari sticking on the roster, but Juwan Winfrey, who's getting way more burn than him as an outside receiver. I charted first half of the preseason game, week one. And then I charted the family night snaps with the ones that, were broadcast. Juwan Winfrey is out snapping Amari Rodgers on the outside. So not in the slot, not in the condensed formations where, the number one wide receiver to the outside is starting 3 feet away from a tight end. Winfrey is out snapping him 14-6. And of those six snaps that Amari had as an outside wide receiver, five of them were in the 2-minute drill that like Danny Davis was also out there for. Right. Yeah. So that's after, Dobbs and Winfrey and guys like that had already been pulled out of the game. So I think kind of Winfrey is like an outside guy that they only ran live motion twice in the first half. It was both times to Juwan Winfrey. Winfrey did that little insert thing that like Alan Lazard does, where he's like creeping up behind the tight end and just like digging out a defensive end and stuff like that. He did that four times in the first half against San Francisco. I really do think like they're designing a lot of these plays for Winfrey, and I think that they have a plan for him to stick on the roster as the wide receiver seven, potentially, even if he's only like an outside guy. Obviously, he's not really going to get on the field outside of special teams unless someone ends up going down, because they already have guys like Dobbs, guys like Watson, guys like Watkins who can play outside, Lazard, who's going to play outside and in the slot. But injuries happen in the NFL. And I think at this point, it's like, this is one of the guys you probably can't risk putting on practice squad again.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. And talking about the special teams, body types and things. And I think I remember seeing a decent amount of comments about Winfrey playing some of those those snaps on special teams a little bit now, where he wasn't doing a whole lot of that when he was activated last season. Those snaps go into like a Malik Taylor. So I do wonder if they're starting to use him there a little bit more than they have in the past, and help, you know, help him get on the field that way and make the roster. But yeah, if they're designing plays for him to be a run blocker, like that's how you make the team in a Matt LaFleur coach
team.
They're
making him do dirty work, man. Yeah. 'Cause they have him doing that. And then again, to your point on special teams, he is playing special teams, but he's not playing those like perimeter roles, I guess is the best way. Like vice, like clamping up a guy, right? Who's trying to gun down a punt, or I think Bisaccia actually calls gunners flyers. He said that today. Playing one of those positions. He's like blocking on kick return, or just like going out there on kickoff, stuff like that. But it's like, that's dirty work, man. Like,
yeah.
And if he's active in these games, I mean, he's going to have to do that. Like, that's what he's on the team to actually do. It's not like he's going to get a ton of these outside snaps. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And then if you keep him as seven, right, that pushes Samari Toure off as probably your eighth guy. And you hope to get him out of the practice squad. I'm trying to remember, you charted him and he ended up mostly being a slot guy, right? When the way they've been using him so far, for the most part, if I remember right.
20-1 snaps. Ooh. As a slot to outside. Yeah, he pretty significant split. I think he was out on the field for one of the special teams. Tariq Carpenter was another guy like that, where, you know, these guys that were draft picks that just aren't really able to break the depth chart as of late. And, you know, we got two more preseason games to go. You're going to have cuts again next week where they go down from 85 to 80. I wouldn't anticipate any of those guys to be on that cut list. I think Toure's got a pretty good shot at making the practice squad. I just really, it's weird because they took him. He's a draft pick, but he's like the eighth wide receiver on their board. And even if there's an injury, I don't know if he would be the next guy to get called up.
I mean, we're living in a world where it's very possible that Brian Gutekunst cuts all four of his seventh round draft picks this year, which feels crazy. Cause he has loved this, you know, all of his draft picks, you know, I'm trying to think back how many of them he has ended up keeping, even in those late, you know, day three guys.
I mean, he's bringing some of them back. Dexter Williams is back.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, all four of those guys look like they're kind of behind the eight ball right now and are off the bubble, at least as of this point in time. So I'm sure we'll get to the other three in a little bit.
Yeah. One last note, Malik Taylor waived with the injured designation. So he's going to revert back to IR. Who knows if he's going to stick on IR. I wouldn't anticipate him to. He just returned to practice. He was wearing the red, you know, non-contact jersey like a quarterback. And then I think it was the day before he got released, he was finally cleared for contact. I think he's probably going to get an injury settlement and end up somewhere else in the league at this point. But that certainly opens up the if they weren't going to keep him to play special teams, then they're probably not going to keep anyone to play special teams, because he's done that for them for the last 2 years. And he's just been out there. Tight end position. Big news is that Bobby Tonyan activated. I mean, I'm pretty surprised. I assumed he was just going to start on PUP. He tore his ACL like 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, him and Elton Jenkins now. I mean, both of those guys being back off the pup. If Bob is back and ready to go for week one, that's a huge shot in the arm, I think, for this position group. And to a lesser extent, the offense as a whole.
So that was the first of two big transactions. The other one, Dominic Daphne, when they had to get down to 80, he was waived with the injured designation too. Assume again that he's probably going to get some sort of injury settlement, but I think that opens up, I think that like solidifies the tight end position. It's like, these are the four that they're going to keep. It's going to be Tonyan. He's going to be the pass catcher. It's going to be Mercedes, going to be the inline guy. Tyler Davis can do a little bit of both of those, you know, kind of coming off the bench. And then Josiah DeGuara is going to play off the ball. And as a fullback, he played a ton of fullback snaps in the preseason opener. I charted it and it ended up being something like, I think it was like 12 snaps, which was more than he had played fullback in any game other than like week 2 against the Lions last year. Yeah. So like this team, I mean, who knows what they're actually doing in the preseason? Like, I don't know if this is what the offense is supposed to look like, or
right.
they're just run. This is their base plays where it's like, you know, we just got to run something, like no checks, no audibles. We just have to run something. But that, I thought that was interesting to know. I mean, to that point, they keep saying they're going to get Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon on the field together. They yep. haven't showed one single snap of Pony personnel stuff the entire preseason, the entire family night. Like, they just haven't done it. So they might just be saving their good stuff for the regular season, just running high formation now. But DeGuara's getting on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have this weird feeling that Alize Mack is a little bit of a dark horse and has an outside shot at supplanting Tyler Davis for that fourth job at Ooh. This point. I realize I'm going out on a limb a little bit on this one, but given how Davis just did not look particularly good in that first game. I mean, drop, you know, that drop right off his mitts that goes for the pick. Just not a good game overall for him. And it sounds like Mac has made a couple plays this week. So I don't know. He's a different type of guy. I think he's a little bit bigger. He's certainly a better athlete from what I recall of his RAS, Mac is. So at a position where tools kind of dominate everything, if he can come on and have a couple of nice performances, I could see him maybe sneaking on and pushing Davis off and getting the fourth tight end job.
And he was a starter on the kickoff return team, which I kind of thought
yeah.
was a little bit surprising. That was the only team that he was the starter on, but he's at least getting out there. I mean, it's notable. Again, if you're going to take anything out of, I guess, what? Quay Walker started at inside linebacker. The offensive line started. And then outside of that, what you're really picking apart is kind of the edge of the roster bubble. And then
right.
who's going to make the team based off of special teams. Like,
yep.
that's kind of the takeaways. Offensive line-wise, I put up an article on the site, if you guys want to check it out, with a bunch of cut-ups of kind of three offensive line combinations. So the first one is kind of who the starters are right now, which is I'm spacing on his name, buddy from Oregon, in at guard.
Jake Hansen.
Who I keep, like, mentally, I'm just like Lucas Patrick. Like, I'm like Lucas Patrick, but it's not Lucas Patrick. It's like the next Lucas Patrick.
Yeah.
Jake Hansen. Next to Royce Newman at right tackle. The next combo that came in was Newman kicking in to right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle, and then Zach Tom at right tackle with Sean Ryan at right guard. So I have all those cut-ups for the pass protections up on the site in slide and bob protection. I kind of came away thinking that Zach Tom is the guy I would choose out of those.
Yeah.
And it's weird to me that they're already working in Elton Jenkins as, like, the long-term right tackle, it seems like all the, he's not doing full contact stuff, but in all the walkthroughs and all the indie stuff, he's getting looks at right tackle. And I'm not sure that their best offensive line, like left to right, wouldn't be, you know, when everyone's fully healthy, Bach, John Runyon, Josh Myers, Elton at right guard, and then Tom at right tackle. Like, I yeah. kind of think that's the best offensive line that they could throw out there. But they seem pretty committed to this, like, Hansen Newman thing that they've been messing around with the entire preseason. And I don't really get it. Like, I watch Hansen. Yeah. He seems like a center to me. He's a center. He's a yeah. center. And then Newman has some issues. You know, he can't make guys run the hoop around a quarterback. Like, he's quick game. He can get a body on a body. But then it's like the athleticism at the end of plays. It's like, oh, man, that guy's getting real close to the quarterback. And it's yep. not your fault. But
And that's the polar opposite of Zach Tom. Right. Like, he has incredible feet. That was, I was trying to make sure to watch him when he was at right tackle. Just the way he keeps guys in front of him and manages to keep those feet moving is impressive. And I didn't have a chance to watch the game live. I was stuck in airline delays all day Friday afternoon and evening. So I had to watch the replay back. And I think I was texting you guys. I'm like, the one thing about Zach Tom is he looks like he's a tight end.
Yeah.
Like, just his build. He does not look like he's built like a, a 300-pound offensive lineman. He looks like he's a big tight end out there playing tackle, but he also moves like he's a big tight end playing tackle in a good way. So that was just the one thing that really stood out to me watching him, beyond just, you know, being pretty pleased with his pass sets, was, man, he looks lean for for an offensive lineman, for a guy wearing a number in the 50s.
The one thing that, so I put up on the site our new projected 53-man roster. The one thing I came away thinking is, if Bakhtiari isn't off of PUP in week one, and I mean, hopefully he is, but like, we're 2 weeks away. We got two more. We got what?
Yeah.
The end of the preseason is like 8 days from now for the Packers. So like,
yeah,
if it's going to happen, it's got to happen pretty soon. If he starts the season on PUP, I don't really think the Packers need to keep 10 linemen on their 53-man roster. I just don't. That 10th guy hasn't really shown up. Like right now, it's like, it's not even Rashid Walker. It's like the undrafted free agents that are getting looks out there.
Yeah, it's a Caleb Jones over at right tackle or something, right?
Yeah,
it's,
or like Michael Minette as the third center option. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Mean, we could use that on something else.
Walker's funny because I sent in the Slack the other day. The first time I heard anything about Rashid Walker at training camp was on Tuesday when the Packers Twitter account posted a video of him biking to camp with one of the kids. That's the first time you've seen his name mentioned at any point, really, from any of the media guys in any of the training camp practices for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That guy is as big of an afterthought right now on this offensive line as anybody. So, no, I'm completely with you, right? Like, there seems like there's a clear demarcation at that nine spot, not including Bach. You know, Van Lannen and Sean Ryan being like your 8-9 guys. Ryan kind of by default based on his draft position, and
right. he's not any threat to get cut.
No,
stop the money that they paid him.
Right. But yeah, and Van Lannen's in that mix, but there's a huge drop off, I think, after those guys, and with needing to keep seven receivers, and the numbers game on the defensive side. Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing there too, right, is PUP list guys in the regular season only have to be shut down for the first 3 weeks now. So you've got a sooner window that you can activate guys in the regular season. They've talked about it, and they say, you know, if the guy's ready, we're going to activate him, you know, in the preseason. We're not going to stash him because we don't have to stash him as long. But the box stuff is weird. I will not be at all surprised if he stays on PUP to start the season. If you do that, I think you roll with nine, you save that roster spot for another place and you move on. Especially given the amount of versatility that you have, especially with Jenkins being back being able to play so many different positions in a pinch.
What do you think of Tom getting some left guard snaps? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
No.
John Runyon alone. Leave him his job alone.
The left guard and center are the two positions where you feel as good as you possibly can on this offensive line right now. I mean, Myers had a really solid game. I think I saw he was like the highest graded PFF player on the offensive line in all of the NFL in week one. I think he got like a 90 or something from their scale. So, you know, you feel good about where he's at. And Runyon has just been... he's just been as solid as you can be since week two of last year. I don't know why you're messing around with that position. I would understand giving Tom like some two snaps at that spot, but the only thing I can think of there is, okay, we're going to have Tom be our backup at four different positions or something, and just at least get him a couple of snaps next to Nyman and next to Myers, just so that you can get your communication down or something. But even that, like that's me really grasping at straws to try to find an explanation.
The thing is, like, I'd want him to get the right snaps, the right guard snaps, because if Elton's going to play right tackle when he's healthy, right, and he's cleared for contact and all that stuff, I want Tom in the mix with Hanson and Newman. Like, going into this, we thought, you know, hey, we just spent three draft picks on offensive linemen. There's no way Newman is going to be the starting right guard again this upcoming season. And he might play right tackle because Hanson is playing right guard. And we didn't even know if Hanson was going to make the team or not. So And again, I think Hansen is a solid player. I just think he's a center. I think he's a backup center, and this team doesn't really need a backup center, so they're messing around with him at guard. I'd be real worried if the starting right tackle, right guard combo to open up the season is those two when Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith is out there.
I'm just trying to remind myself that this time last year, we were still seeing Ben Braden get like first team snaps. So anything can happen here in the next, you know, week and a half before final cuts and, you know, another week and a half after that before week one comes along.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll get into the defense. Talk a little bit about special teams. I promise it won't be too much. And then talk about what we want to see moving forward in the Saints game tonight. And we're back. All right. Start on the defensive side. Defensive line, I thought, did some really interesting stuff in the preseason game. So obviously the top guys on the defensive line are going to be Kenny Clark playing nose tackle. Jerron Reed, Dean Lowry seem to be the starters at defensive end. Devontae Wyatt didn't play in the preseason game. I think he would have if not for injury, but he had a concussion. I say that because they played Quay Walker. I would assume that if Christian Watson is healthy enough to play against the Saints, that he's actually going to play against the Saints. It seems like they're willing to throw the rookies out there more if they're kind of on that borderline starting type of threshold. But then after that, so at family night, what they ended up doing is they had Jonathan Ford start at the nose tackle, which kicked TJ Slayton out to defensive end. And then they had Jack Heflin next to him. For this game, Ford just like fell down the depth chart. Ford got one snap at nose tackle in the first half. He got four at defensive end. Big change compared to last week where they had, you know, Slayton was playing nose tackle and then being the guy who got kicked to end. And another Slayton, Chris Slayton, actually led all the interior defensive linemen in snaps in the first half. He took 19 snaps. TJ Slayton took 17. Heflin got 7 for reference. Ford got 5. And then Akil Byers got used as a really specific type of player. So he never played a single base, like their defensive front, like their 3-4 base. He never got a single snap in that, but he was coming off of the bench as a nickel defensive tackle. So kind of like a guy who's going after the passer. I kind of think Byers is probably, if they see pass rushing talent out of him and he's not really a threat to make a 53 somewhere else, I think he's probably one of the 16 guys who ends up making a practice squad. But there's some real competition here, because I think that they might only keep 5, right, which would have Slayton as the 5th guy. If there's 6, even then there's still a lot of competition, because it's Chris Slayton, Heflin, Ford, and now I guess Byers is like loosely in that race, but a pretty distant 4th.
Yeah, and Slayton played great. TJ Slayton specifically. I mean, he had a great game. I think you cut up some of that. And that one play where he's stand up over the nose and disengages and makes the tackle in the run game about 2 yards downfield. Just great, great, exciting play. Heflin had his moments too. So he flashed a little bit. And like I always do the snap counts, right? The total snap counts for the whole game. And Chris Slayton played 51 snaps out of 59 plays on defense game. That's insane. And TJ played almost every snap of the first half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of that is probably a numbers game. Again, like you said, Wyatt, I'm sure would have played probably 15, 20 snaps if he were healthy and able to go, and probably takes the snaps away from Chris Slayton in that instance. But even he played, you know, pretty solid, especially given that he played, you know, more than 80% of the team snaps in that game. So you do have some real interesting decisions to make if you go beyond that 5. Again, to your point, I think that top 5 is just about as settled as you're going to get as any position group. The question is just, do you keep a 6th? And if you do keep a 6th, do you go with the draft pick, for do you go with Heflin, who's been around for a year, but you didn't activate him at all during the regular season last year, even though he was on basically on the 53 the whole year.
And Heflin made a couple plays too. And I was like,
he did. Yeah.
Gosh, dang. Like, is he just not doing this like from September to December?
I mean, we were asking this question all of last year. Where is he? Why is he not active on game day? And cause he was the 6th guy for most of last season too. So
maybe he's the special teams guy. Like, they're just like, he can't step down on field goal protection. We can't make him do it. His knee won't bend that far.
Yeah.
To your point about the snap counts. So this is first half defense, right? Before they made the big changes and switches over to, you know, the second and a half team, if you want to think about it that way. Slayton got 19. Chris Slayton, I have to be more specific now. TJ Slayton got 17. The only guys that had more than TJ Slayton were Don Levitt had 18 at safety, Shamar John Charles and Rico Gafford had 21 and 20 at corner. That's
almost every snap then.
That's almost every single snap. And TJ Slayton specifically, this is a guy who the story on him coming out of Florida was basically like, we don't know if he can eat that amount of snaps coming out just because
conditioning.
He's a big body and he hasn't done it. He hasn't played a lot of defensive football before. Now, I thought that was a great sign that he was able to play all those nose tackle snaps. Again, first half, 10 nose tackle snaps in total. He took 9 of them. Jonathan Ford only got 1. The fact that he was able to do that and then play all those nickel snaps too, where he's trying to pin his ears back and get after it as a pass rusher, I thought that was a great sign because now maybe that makes you really comfortable in terms of the numbers where you're like, maybe we only do need 5 defensive linemen if Slayton can play all these reps, right? I think that was kind of cool to see. Outside linebacker, man, you could tell me anything and I'll believe it. So Tipa, the one thing I will say, it seems
Tipa's in, I think, right? I think he's to be in on that 3 or 4 line.
He's starting on 3 special teams. He's the only outside linebacker who's starting on special team. And when I say special teams, I mean kickoff, kick return, punt return right now. Obviously, we know the kicking game matters, but kick team.
That's a different animal.
Yeah, kick team and field goal block right now when the starters aren't playing, like we're getting people their steps in. Like, that's all really we're doing here. Like, Russell Douglas and those guys will be, you know, coming off the edge trying to block the field goals and stuff like that in the regular season. Outside linebacker, the way the snaps ended up breaking out were JJ and Igbare, 13, Jonathan Garvin, 10, Kobe Jones, 11, and then Tipa Nalia, 8. Tipa went out with a shoulder injury that they ended up calling like an elbow later. I believe he's back at practice now.
Yep.
So pretty even splits. This was with Ladarius Hamilton out. I feel like we learned absolutely nothing other than there's probably 3 roster spots behind Gary, behind Preston Smith. It has opened up a little bit with Randy Ramsey being waived with a injury designation. So that's, you know, at least one body who's kind of like out of the race. But there's 5 guys competing for 3 spots. I feel pretty good about Enagbare getting in because he's a draft pick. He's been flashing lately.
He's had an insane week of practice this week too. They've been talking to him up and he has been just constantly in the backfield this week. He's been getting some snaps with the ones. So yeah, I think any remaining doubt on him making the team for me is gone at this point. Just based on the flashes we've seen in the last week or so.
We got the weird Tipa thing. Tipa was on the 3rd team defense on family night, then ended up starting preseason week 1 and was starting on, 4 different special teams units, 3 or 4 special teams units. So, like, I assume that he's going to get in, but I wouldn't be shocked if he wasn't the guy. And then you have, you know, Garvin, Ladarius Hamilton. That only really opens up one spot for one of those guys. And, like, Kobe Jones is playing as good as Garvin or Hamilton to me. So, I don't know what this is the most wide open spot, I think, on the team. And I think it's kind of an indictment of how much depth they have. Like, I don't know if Garvin or Kobe Jones or Ladarius Hamilton would make every single NFL roster. But in Green Bay, this is a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to absolutely have to have a 5th guy here, right? You're not, unless you think that somebody's going to become available.
Cornerback and outside linebacker are the two that they keep saying, you know, our fifth guy. Like, you can tell they're thinking about keeping 5. Yeah.
So yeah, unless they think that somebody's going to be, you know, released off another roster that they can claim on waivers or something, you know, after the 53 deadline on 2 weeks from Tuesday. the way it breaks down for me, right, is Tipa and Garvin basically got all their snaps in the first half, and then they were done. Enagbare and Kobe Jones kept kind of playing throughout the second half. Enagbare got, I think, the most snaps with 45. So with him, I'm sure they want to see what the rookie, you know, what the rookie can do and evaluate him a little bit. And then, you know, you get Kobe Jones getting a good amount, and then Chauncey Manak comes on for a little bit in the second half. I think he's, you know, he's pretty well out of the running. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the cuts from squad. Yeah, and he might be even one of the cuts from 85 to 80 when it comes down to it next week. But just based on, you know, it's tough to get a read on Hamilton without him playing and seeing how they would have rotated him in. But based on Garvin just getting like 11 snaps, basically all of them coming in the first half, that at least, you know, that at least tells me that he's the front runner for that fifth spot for the time being, at least. So yeah, hopefully Hamilton will be back this week, and we'll see what, you know, see what that rotation looks like on Friday.
Yeah, I think family night, the second team pass rushers that came out were Garvin and Ladarius Hamilton. So like, that's kind of, those guys have been up there. It's just like a weird spot where, you know, maybe those guys are fighting for your fourth, fifth, or what's the math on that? Third and fourth outside linebacker spots on the depth chart. But you have to release one of them because Enagbare has the rookie deal. And then Tipa is just going to give you so much as a special teamer. Like, he's just out there on every single unit.
Yep.
Speaking of guys who might be on the 80-man cut down, inside linebacker, you know who didn't get a single snap with those guys in the first half? Ty Summers. I think I know.
Yep.
Ty Summers, and he's not out there starting on a single special teams unit. I think it's finally done. The only guy that they held out at the position was Devondre Campbell. The way that the rotation ended up working, they rotated these guys in and out a whole lot. It started with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. Kind of thought that was surprising because we had heard, you know, all summer that, you know, they want Chris Barnes calling plays for the second team defense. They want him to have the green dot. And then you start preseason game one, no one has a green dot on because, you know, it's McDuffie and Walker out there. Then it ended up rotating to Isaiah McDuffie and then Chris Barnes. And then it ended up being Chris Barnes and Ray Wilborn. All those guys are playing special teams. Quay Walker is starting at, I think it's tackle on punt team right now. So all these guys are going to get looks. I wouldn't hate them keeping all five. Ray Wilborn was a guy that I thought played well in special, or played well.
You've been on the Wilborn train this whole summer, man.
He played well in preseason last year, and then they just stashed him on the practice squad the entire season. And, you know, if he's going to be out there making plays and playing special teams, like, does it hurt? Does it hurt? Like, him and Ennis Gaines are the team. Yep. Gaines got hurt and hasn't really been. I mean, now would have been a great time for Gaines to step up, right, with Levitt out and Darnell Savage out, but he's banged up too. Those are kind of my two little babies. I had Tipa last year and then regretted it. I think like week three of the preseason, I was like, there's no way you can roster this guy.
Yeah.
And then he ended up playing playoff snaps for us. But yeah, inside linebacker was interesting. I think Quay obviously is running away with it. I think Barnes might be inside linebacker four though, which I think is a little bit of a surprise considering he was the starter last year. But I mean, they did bring in Jalen Smith last year to try to replace him as the nickel inside linebacker because they didn't want him there. So I don't know.
Didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
Now, the green dot thing was fascinating to me too. I was interested by that same development, and I did notice that Walker had it early on when it was him and McDuffie out there at the beginning of the game, those first series or two, and they had Walker doing it. I don't know if maybe that's just a, hey, let's go out there and throw him into the fire and make him do it for a little bit, his first action out there, and see how he handles it. That's my working theory on that. But yeah, to your point, then he kind of gives off to Barnes after a couple series and Barnes takes over. So it's a clear, you know, there's a clear top four here. I really think the only question is, you know, do you keep Wilborn as a fifth, or do you end up sticking with four and going with another guy to another position?
100% agree there. Cornerback, this is another one where I feel like they're almost like tight end, where it's like, I feel like we know who the guys are. I feel like we know who the guys are, and we know the numbers. So obviously Jair, Rasul, and Eric Stokes are going to be the three guys out there in nickel when everyone is healthy. Shamarjon Charles actually got a good amount of outside corner snaps in preseason one. He played 21 snaps, all of them as an outside guy. That was kind of surprising because in family night, when he was out there in nickel, they would have him play in the slot, and that was with the second team defense too. Rico Gafford's an outside corner who's going to contribute on special teams. He was just converted back from wide receiver. And then Keyshawn Nixon, who, you know, he's one of Rich Bisaccia guys, was basically the full-time slot. So I feel like there's a pretty strong line in the sand between whoever that corner six is. I don't know if it is Nixon or if it is Gafford. Like, with special teams involved, I guess, like, that would probably depend on, like, who ends up winning some of these return battles and stuff. But that line right above Keandre Thomas is pretty, pretty deep and pretty strong, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Safety. God, still pretty weird, man. Like, what happened to Sean Davis? So Sean Davis was getting all the safety three spots or snaps throughout the entire summer until Darnell Savage went down with the injury on family night. Then it ended up being Vernon Scott, which, like, was a mild surprise. The big surprise, they start the game with Vernon Scott and Dalen Levitt in at safety. Levitt is basically just a special teams player. Like, he's been that, you know, his entire NFL career, and got
and he's bombed. He showed it. Yeah, he showed it on Friday.
Oof. He got bombed. And then he got hurt, and then he messed up his shoulder. So, like, Sean Davis is probably going to have to play against the Saints. But just – I don't really know what to make of this position. And Levitt's injury, I mean, they haven't really come out and, like, you know, said how banged up it is. They haven't given us any details on that. But, like, LaFleur said, like, he's going to be out a while. And when it happened, I thought he broke his clavicle or something, because, I mean, it was a pretty big hit over the middle. And – his arm flops and he immediately grabs, like, around his shoulder, and I'm like, I've seen these before. These usually take a season.
Yeah, like, I have trouble imagining that they would try to stash him through onto the roster through the cutdown to try to get him onto IR to return later on in the season. I don't see that being a possibility. Let him go through, you know, move on with an injury settlement or something. And then, you know, maybe if he gets healthy, bring him back, you know, midway through the season or something. I think that's a more likely scenario than trying to hold on to him. So with that, I mean, yeah, Scott looks clearly like your three right now. And then you're probably down to Davis and Carpenter for that four spot. And given the safety four or the Carpenter safety three reps that Davis getting had,
anywhere, man.
No, he's not. Like,
he's not. He's on one special teams unit. That's crazy.
And that was his pathway, right? Like, he was going to be the next Oren Burks, at least from, you know, from body type and being the special teams missile. And it's just not there for him right now, which is a little bit shocking, to be honest.
I mean, he might be a guy who's on the practice squad this year, and then he ends up playing special teams next year. But you drafted a guy to take a redshirt year to play special teams? How good at special teams could this guy be? he's certainly not good enough to be getting reps with this team as of yet. So I don't know. Special teams wise, I told you guys we were going to talk a little bit. I'm just going to list off the guys and the units that they started off on by number. So the guys who started on all four of the core units, which again are punt return, kickoff return, because it's just funky not having the starters out there for field goal or field goal block. The guys who started on all four, Isaiah McDuffie, Chris Barnes, and Rico Gafford. The guys who started three were Tyler Davis, Tipa Nollia, Shamarjon Charles, and Keyshawn Nixon and Dalen Levitt, who is now injured. The guys who started two were Amari Rodgers, Juwan Winfrey, Josiah DeGuara, and Sean Davis. And then the guys who were only in on one, Samari Toure, Alizé Mack, Quay Walker, Ray Wilborn, Vernon Scott, and Tariq Carpenter. So that gives you kind of a good feel of who some of these guys who are on the bubble, where they kind of stand, at least, because they're not going to be burning all these reps just to not have a guy there on punt team for game day. What are you looking forward to for the Saints game? Where are your eyes going to be when you watch the game, Tex?
Yeah, I tend to gravitate towards the receiver group just in general. And so, you know, I don't expect that we'll see Christian Watson playing, just given how quick it was after he came off the PUP list on Sunday. But you know, you want to see if Dobbs can keep up his, you know, his impressive summer. And then kind of looking at that, you know, that Winfrey role, right? You know, how are they using him? Are they going to keep him doing some of that dirty work in the run game? Versus, you know, are they going to keep using Toure as a slot guy? So I think that'll be one of the interesting things that I'll be keeping an eye on. And then, like I said, I want to see Alize Mack. I want to see a little more of him, just to see if you can get him integrated into the offense a little bit more, see what he can give you, because I think he can be sort of that same role as Tyler Davis, right? He can play in line, but also split out a little bit and use his athleticism as a receiver. So that'll kind of be where I'm looking. And then you get to the offensive line and just the combinations,
right?
Again, that we keep talking about over and over at this point. Where are they going to put Zach Tom? How are they going to, you know, line up in that first string line? I'm with you. I would love to see, you know, Newman and Tom at right guard and right tackle to start this game. But we haven't really seen that in practice this week. It's been, you know, Hanson and Newman again for most of these practice reps with the ones. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll see that or not, but looking forward to seeing Tom again, this Friday. So, and I'll actually be able to watch live this time, which would be nice.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Beyond what you said, I think where my eyes are going to be the Patrick Taylor thing at running back. I want to keep a close eye on that. Mm-hmm. I almost wonder if that's because he was just recently coming off of an injury. I do wonder if they had him on like a pitch count for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he overtook Goodson in terms of snaps. At the very least, I'll have an eye on him, seeing like, okay, when it's third down and six, do they use you as the blocking back and stuff like that, like they did last time. Want to keep an eye on DeGuara and just like, are they actually using fullbacks this year? Is this team changing? Because it's really hard to run a kind of I formation offense if you're not pulling guards and stuff. And that's one of the things the Packers did the least, you know, in the league. They don't really pull guards. Everything is zone or duo or, you know, some sort of like wraparound variation where like it's supposed to go this way and then it's an end around that way and you have a lead blocker. Like the guards aren't really pulling. It all looks the same. Defensively, really just keeping an eye on the line of scrimmage. I feel like the guys outside of safety, I feel like the guys on the back end, we kind of like know who's going to make the roster within like one player, I guess is the best way to put it. But like the Slayton brothers, I need to keep an eye on them. I want to see if they can do it again for a second game in a row. And then outside linebacker, like someone's got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to rush the passer when it's not Gary and Preston Smith out there. So I'm interested in seeing that. I don't know if you caught it either. They are showing some of their like weird little pressure packages.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they'll just have like Quay Walker creep down the line of scrimmage and they'll have three interior defensive linemen opposite of them. And you're like, okay, you guys are cooking some stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting alignment. I think you pointed it out and I was kind of watching for it when I rewatched the game a little bit. And yeah, that's a fun little wrinkle. So we'll see. We'll definitely see more of that, I think, in the regular season, but I'm sure they've got a few other things cooking up that they'll break out as the season goes along.
Yeah. It seems like based off of what they did on family night too, because they showed that look a couple of times when they were working like third down period and stuff like that, where it seems like Quay is really going to be the walk-up guy and Devondre is going to be the guy who's kind of playing off the ball. And even when Devondre wasn't out there, right, in the first preseason game against the Niners, they still had Quay Walker do the walk-up role. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So he's going to be – we're going to lean on him for a little bit of pass rush. I mean, he might be the third best pass rushing outside linebacker on the team. Like, I'm not totally sold on these guys. I'm pretty worried. I did some Googles on who's available as far as the edge rushers go right now. It's pretty bleak. It's pretty not good. And a lot of the pass rushers are just like 4-3 ends, which is not great.
Yeah. I will be interested to see. We should have Wyatt in for his debut tonight. So I think, you know, seeing how much playing time they give him, how that rotation works out, how his presence affects the D-line rotation. I think that'll be interesting to watch. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him, you know, show off his quickness on the interior a little bit.
We need it. We need it. All right, keep it tuned to APC. Follow the feed on wherever you get your podcasts. Go to the website, click some articles, read some stuff. We got some videos up, a lot of breakdowns. It's football season again. I'm excited.
We're getting into the swing of things, man.
I'm excited.
We're ramping up, and it's gonna be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it.